Thank you very much. So it's a great pleasure to talk about Zoom. While I'm speaking now, I can't assist with any kind of help that's going on the site. So you have to be a little bit patient with me if there are any Zoom requests. So what I'm going to share with you, or try to share with you, are some best practices for Zoom hosting. So that's the role that I've filled in quite a different number of formats that we offer. We run these forums. We also started running courses online. So within that, there's a lot of tech support that is actually required. And so this brief presentation is aimed at giving an overview of what Zoom can do, what it's good for, and also giving some tips that I learned the hard way. So to help you, if you'd like to facilitate Zoom, to set up the workflows in a nicer way or in a smoother way. So I'm going to move over and share my screen. So the best practice for Zoom hosting here, it's not a definitive guide, but it's really meant to be a sharing of learning that I've required. And first of all, I just want to briefly explain the different types of format that Zoom offers, because that's a question that we quite often get. So many of you are familiar with meetings and with webinars. Now, they are similar in many ways, but also different in quite substantial ways. And it also then explains why we choose a particular format for the courses that we offer. So first of all, the meetings are really ideal for very interactive sessions with the audience. And any of you who have taken part in any of the Zoom sessions that we have or the courses, we've received lots of comments about how interactive the sessions are. And so this is what happens in meetings. While webinars are much more presenter-led and there are fewer opportunities for the audience to participate. So the meetings are usually used for small groups. It's okay for up to 1,000, but I wouldn't necessarily call that a meeting anymore. So I would probably say that 40 or 50 is a good rule of thumb. And webinars can be run for really large audiences. So depending on the license that people buy, it's up to 10,000. In terms of security, so if we have a meeting, all the participants can see who is on the call. So Wendy has very kindly introduced a very good way of getting around that by asking people to change their name to name and location, for example. So if you don't want your full name to be visible to other participants, you can change it and you can rename yourself. While in webinars, the other participants, that there's no opportunity for participants to communicate with each other or to see the participant list. Meetings don't have email reminders. That's something that we quite often we miss. With webinars, there's a possibility of setting up email reminders to say 24 hours before the webinar starts, email all participants to remind them. And in meetings, we have to do it manually, and I will show you, or I will tell you where you can do that. And finally, the big difference is that meetings allow us to use breakout rooms. And that's the key method or the key tool that we often use in the UE forums and the UE sessions, which enable participants to move into pairs, to speak in small groups away from the big group, and then to return to the main room. And looking at this list, it's really quite clear that meetings are really ideal for the UE, for our UE style of presenting courses and of learning, because in UE, it's about experiential learning, and the interactive elements of the Zoom meetings allow us to actually do that and deliver it in those ways. So we choose meetings. Zoom gives you two account options. You can use a free account and you can use a pro account. Free accounts are ideal for teachers who work on a one-to-one basis or for group meetings, up to 40 minutes. A pro account gives unlimited one-to-one calls as well, and group meetings can be of any length. So that's really ideal for courses and anything that we run, for example. The cost for Zoom is individual country by country. It's worth checking the pricing. Important is you can buy a Zoom account on a monthly contract. It's not necessary to actually buy an annual contract. So it's possible to buy it now and then next month drop out of the Zoom account. So that's something that is quite, that is often asked. And it's round about, it's somewhere between £11 and it's somewhere between say $11 and $14 or something that it works out a month. So this is the reason why we use Zoom and why Zoom is so useful for what we do. So now I'm going to move over into the more practical aspects. The word tour de force just came to my mind because there's a lot of technical detail which comes together, but we are actually recording this call, and you will be receiving a handout with screenshots at the end as well. So do take notes, but also if there is something that you miss, you will get a chance to actually listen again and see the handout. So I'm moving over into setting up of Zoom meetings, because there is an issue which has recently been in the news a lot, and that is around security. There have been many instances across the world where people have entered Zoom meetings and really interrupted meetings with racist comments and all sorts of things that happened. So Zoom has just recently, in the last 2 weeks, changed the security features. And the three things that are key to making sure that Zoom sessions are safe and are secure are registration, the use of passwords, and the waiting room. And I'll switch over to another window to show you what this feature looks like. So if we're looking at, this is what the meeting schedule screen looks like. So here you would be able to name the meeting. You can find the date, the time. You can create recurring meetings. For example, if you have a course that runs 4 weeks in a row, you can do it on a specific day. You can set all of this up. And we always use the registration feature. Because this means there's an email sent out to participants. They register their name, they register their email address, and then they receive a key with the meeting password. Now, this is new. This meeting was set up before the password changes came in. So there was no password on this meeting, and you can also disable this. Registration, I would strongly recommend. But I would say that it's many people just register on the very at the very last minute. So it quite often happens that people receive the information, but then they don't sign up immediately. And below here, there's a new feature of it. It's constantly enabled here, and we can disable this. It's called the waiting room, and it basically just means when people join the call, they're seeing an empty screen, and you as the host see a message that actually says there's somebody waiting in a waiting room, would you like to let them in? So these are the security settings that we have now, and they are very, very useful to use when setting up, or it's worth considering that. Okay, here we go. So using Zoom toolbar for hosts, this is a slide which I quite often use for Zoom calls to brief participants. So it's just a screenshot. You will receive this also in PowerPoint. And it's just to explain, this is the microphone. You can mute yourself. This is the video. You can stop, start video. If you click on participants, you can find your name and you can rename yourself. And if you click on chat, the chat will come up on the side. So it's quite useful to show people that, so it gives a good visual. There's also added security features now, which are in this button, which allow you to lock the meeting, which means nobody else can actually enter the meeting. And it can also, you can stop the ability of participants to interact with the group. I have to say, I don't really think it's necessary in the meetings that we have, but the option is definitely there should there be an issue. Using screen share, that's what I'm doing right now, is this little button here. And there is one thing that I very strongly recommend, and that is actually setting up everything that you would like to share in the meeting up in individual windows, because then these windows show on this screen. So if I want to share a PowerPoint, I can click this screen and then click on share. If I want to show a video, I have that in a separate window, and I can click on that and share just this video. So it stops me from sharing my whole desktop and showing everything that I need. What is quite important is when sharing a video, it's the sharing sound, because you want people to be able to hear the sound of the video. So you have to click the share sound option down here, and that will share what you hear on your computer with everybody else in the meeting. And I sometimes use that to share a PowerPoint and play a bit of music on Spotify in the background. So it's quite nice when people do an activity, for example. There is also something called a whiteboard, which can be quite helpful. It creates a blank screen and it allows people to type on the whiteboard. I don't think we'll have time to actually do this. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left, so we're not going to do it here. It will be in your handout. It can be quite helpful, but if it's quite a big meeting, it can be quite messy. So it's worth trying that out with a small number of people. So the next section that we use very often are breakout rooms, which is this little button here. And you'll be seeing this little screen here. Oh, my mouse is rogue. So as you can see, you're given the option here to assign participants automatically or manually. I always do it manually, because then I just have control over what actually happens. So I would always recommend doing that. And it doesn't matter how many rooms you choose here, you can always add or delete rooms once you get to the breakout rooms. As you can see here, that's the next screen. So you can add a room, or you can delete rooms later. In options here, you can set the time for how long you want these rooms to be open. And this just means that you, as the host, you see a countdown on your screen that shows you how long the participants are in those breakout rooms. And that's quite helpful, simply because it's quite difficult to keep track of everything. Like, I know Wendy is going to gong me in a couple of minutes, but it's quite difficult to keep track on the time. So you will, at the end of the breakout rooms, you'll be asked to close the rooms, and then there's a specific countdown timer which gives participants another 30 or 60 seconds, whatever you choose, to end the conversations, which is quite nice. And they see this countdown before they come back into the breakout room. So if you've been on any of the forums, you know roughly what this looks like from the other side. So assigning people to breakout rooms is very straightforward. You can just click and you can put as many people in as you want. And you can also broadcast messages into the breakout rooms. Now, what I recommend here is to actually have a script ready. And this is something that I did this morning, for example. So this was the timeline that I was given by the facilitator. And I typed out the instructions that I wanted to broadcast into the breakout rooms, and I also added my timings for the countdown so that I don't have to worry about keeping track of time. So I have this ready in the document, and then I can just sort of go to the document, copy and paste into this message in the breakout rooms. So then here, there's the option to actually broadcast and tell people, give them the answer, the questions, whatever there is. So typical questions that come up during Zoom sessions are, my audio is not working. And I usually ask people to run a test next to the microphone and video camera. You have test options. What was the question again? Comes up very often. So if the facilitator has given a question, just retyping it in the chat box. Can you share the link, please, of a video? Comes up very often. And how do I? And when it comes to the how do I share you my absolute secret, because I'm not necessarily the absolute guru on this, but I've got a friend and my friend is Google. So, for example, I had a question about audio is not working on Zoom on iPhone. And I typed this in and then there's a Zoom link. So this is by Zoom support. I always use Zoom support links and I click on that and then it gives the overview and I just copy and paste the link address and I send it to the participant in chat and I say, you know, can you please have a look at this, see if this works for you. So it's not necessary to have all the answers all the time, but Google is a very good way of actually showing you, of actually helping you find the answers that you need. So practical tips, this is just to wrap up this very, very brief introduction to Zoom. First of all, get a really good headset. It's a good investment and it helps with the microphone. Sometimes computer microphones or laptop microphones can be quite tinny in sound. Exchange phone or WhatsApp numbers with your presenter in advance. It's really helpful if there's an issue with the call to be able to just WhatsApp the presenter or the person that you're sharing with and have that on the side. I won't name names. We had a couple of occasions in the last couple of weeks where it was just really funny to have that in the beginning. Prepare anything you want to screen share in separate windows individually so you have instant access and you can see exactly where everything is. With the breakout rooms, you have time. You can give yourself 10, 15 minutes before to just prepare it without opening up the breakout rooms. But check the breakout room settings before you open them, because sometimes people drop out and then come back in and they have to be reassigned to the breakout room. Broadcast messages, type them out in advance so you can cut and paste them across. It just saves a lot of time. Calculate timings in advance because it's a countdown timer, so you have to go backwards. I'm not very good at maths, so we just finish this slide, if I may. So there's any questions, Google and Zoom are your friend. Do not be hard on yourself. There's very little that can go wrong in this. Very, very little. And breathe, which I didn't really do because there's so much to get through. But I hope that these tips will help you. And of course, there's now questions and answers. So if there's anything specific, I'll hand over to Wendy to
thank you, Michaela. Wonderful, wonderful. So much information. And it's great to know this will be in a handout. Will that be available soon, the handout?
Say by the weekend. I'll prepare it together with the recording.
Thank you so much, Michaela. Okay, questions, either put them in chat or just raise your hand. Any questions to Michaela? We've got a few moments for questions. I don't see any hands yet. Rachel.
There's Rachel and then Tenzin Chucky as well, I think.
She'll go for it.
Yep.
Two things. How do you see everyone? And then also, I think it's a simple gallery view, right? But the other is you had red arrows pointing at things that you had screenshots of. And so how you made those red arrows appear and how you did that.
Well, on the screenshots. So this is because I used PowerPoint. I use Google Slides for presentations. So you can just, as you would in a PowerPoint presentation, you can insert those shapes. And so you can manipulate those. And in terms of the gallery view, it is limited to about 25 people per screen or 20 people. So sometimes you get two screens and you can switch between screen 1, 2, and 3. So you can, they are on either side of the screen. Is it helpful, Rachel? Okay, good.
Tenzin Chokhi.
Yeah, mine is actually the same as Francois and Pilar about preparing the breakout rooms, because I find when I'm facilitating and trying to pay attention to the chat and trying to share my screen and all that's happening, I always just do my breakout rooms automatically, because then they're waiting for just a second. Like if they waited for me to manually assign, it would, it just feels like it would be one more whole complicated thing. So
absolutely. So it's a really important point, because what I spoke about is from a Zoom tech perspective as the person next to the facilitator, which I think it's a bit of a luxury maybe for larger groups. If you're facilitating on your own, then the automatic assigning is definitely faster for the breakout rooms. However, if you're facilitating with somebody else and you do it automatically, the presenter quite often ends up in a breakout room, but they don't want to be in a breakout room, which is why I do it manually. Yeah, but it's absolutely right. So to do a quick one, you can do automatic. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Just to add to that, what I found is that I have to multitask basically if I'm setting up the breakout rooms as well as leading a meditation, I time it so that what I'm presenting allows me to also multitask, but it's not ideal. Much better to have a co-host. But for sure, like at the coming together last Thursday, I did manual breakout rooms at the same time as leading a meditation, which, it's not ideal, but hey, it is possible. Better to work with someone if possible. Any other questions, please? Okay, I don't see any hands. Virginie, a quick one, please. Yep. Unmute yourself if you could.
Thank you. I have a question. I used the breakout rooms the other day, and that there was a co-lead, but the co-lead who was involved technically left, and so I put people in rooms automatically, but after that I couldn't get them back, because the little window with the breakout rooms had disappeared. Any idea why that happened?
It can happen. I think just by clicking, in the toolbar I showed, there's this button for breakout rooms. I believe that just clicking on that button makes it reappear. But it can happen that if there's no time limit put on the breakout rooms, that this problem occurs. Because then the breakout rooms go on forever and ever. So it's helpful to put a time limit on it beforehand, because then as the host, you get a message saying, do you want to close the breakout rooms now? Your time's up.
Because I didn't have done that. That's why I had this problem, because I didn't set a time.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I think, Elaine.
Okay. Really quick. Because we're running out of time, Elaine. Go for it. Thank you.
Elaine, you have to unmute yourself.
I don't see a breakout room in this bottom bar.
No, it's because you're not the host. So these are actually controls that you can't see as the participant. So as a participant, you have different controls. That's why. Thank you for pointing that out. I didn't mention that when I shared the screen. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michaela. Really, thank you.